Tonight's scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that You would be with us in a very special way as we share Your word together. One more time, we need You to fill up our words with Your word, that we might hear Your voice, that we might see Your glory, that we might be transformed by Your love and Your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are a people who forget. We are a people who get distracted. We are a people who get weighed down in the busyness, the stress, the craziness sometimes of life. And so it's really important sometime, I think, for us to stop and remember. For us to hold on to what we know is true. Sometimes for us to go back to the very beginning, to the very foundation, and let God remind us of what we need to remember. I've been aware lately in my own life how I'm running through things. You know, I've found that even recently, over the past probably 6 months ago, I noticed, even when I read scripture, I read it so fast, and things become so familiar that we just sort of breeze right by them. And when I realized that that's what was happening to me recently, I had to stop. And I had to say, God, You have to help me not rush. You have to help me not be so concerned about quantity, but to be more concerned about quality. And so I've noticed as I've slowed down, particularly my scripture reading, there are things that are just jumping out at me. Statements, promises, commands, truths that sometimes I would just breeze right on through because they're so familiar. I can sometimes even, you know, quote them along as my little voiceover is reading my Bible app to me. But sometimes I hear a scripture, I hear a verse, and it makes me stop. Makes my jaw drop, if you will. And I recently had that experience with the verses that Tom just read you. So familiar, so simple. John, the beloved disciple, says this: look at the kind of love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's exactly who we are. The church I used to belong to, the pastor in that church, when he would baptize a baby, you know, and he wore the big black robe, and he would baptize a baby, and have this little baby up against, you know, these white baptism gowns up against this black robe. And after he would baptize the baby, he would walk into the congregation, and he would say that verse: behold the manner of love. Look at that kind of love that God has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's exactly who we are. That verse comes very close to the end of the Bible. It's a couple little things past that. 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then the book of Revelation. But they come at the end of a book that is full of descriptions of who God is. And we see God's power as he delivers his people, as he keeps his promises. We see God's glory and his majesties. We get these little glimpses in certain places of scripture, these little glimpses of the majesty and the glory and the beauty of who God is. And we're told that God's the creator and sustainer of the entire universe. We're told that God holds all of the created order, galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies, which we don't even have telescopes yet that can see correctly. He holds them in the span of his hand. He's a God who works miracles. He's a God who commands awe. He's a God who speaks and the mountains melt like wax before him. He's the God who always was, the God who is, the God who is to come. There is no one else like him. Angels, we're not even sure what they look like, but they're beings that must be awfully fierce, because every time they've appeared to someone, they have to say, "Don't be afraid." Those beings, angelic, beautiful, fierce, glorious, those beings have to veil their faces in the presence of God. That's how awesome he is. Think about that God. Get that picture in your mind. And then listen to this. Look at the kind of love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's not just what we should be called, that's exactly who we are. It should take our breath away to think about that God Almighty, holy, 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 invites us to be his children. Two times in Romans and in Galatians, Paul tells us that when we believe in Jesus and his spirit comes to live in us, that spirit cries out, "Abba," which is the Hebrew word for father, papa, daddy, an intimate term a child would use to address his father. That because of Jesus, we are invited to that sort of relationship with the God of the universe, where we call him Abba. God lavishes his love on us. He invites us to be his children, not because we have perfect attendance in Sunday school, not because we don't get angry, not because we make all the right choices, not because we wear ourselves out trying to serve him. God loves us simply because we are. God sees every bit of who we are. He sees through our church face. He sees the brokenness of our heart and our lives. He sees our bad attitudes and our bad choices and our grumbling and our self-centeredness and our selfishness and our laziness. He sees all of it. All of it. And he loves us. We sometimes wear ourselves out trying to get the very thing that God has freely given us. And that's his love. But he does more than just love us. He invites us into this relationship. You know, we've talked about this before. God, who's so difficult for us to even really get a visual picture of, God has revealed himself to us in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we see that God is already in relationship with himself. We got to glimpse a little bit of that relationship when Jesus was made flesh and walked on the earth. But it's mind-blowing to think that he invites us into that relationship. Right in the middle of the triune God. Right in the middle of the Father loving the Son, then the Son loving the Spirit, and the Spirit loving the Father, and it going around and around and around. He invites us into that relationship. What would our lives look like if we believed, if we lived that reality that we are the children of God? I don't know about you, but I am so often aware of how often I live like an orphan. You know, I live my life like I'm on my own, you know? God's been gracious and he brought Tom to help me out with that. But I forget sometimes the wonder of this relationship that God is inviting me into. That I am a child of God. And he longs to love me. He longs to be in communion with me. He longs to walk through my days with me. He longs to hear the cry of my heart. He longs to speak his truth and his peace and his grace into my very heart, into my very life. If you're a parent, you get a glimpse of what it's like to love someone so passionately. If you've played a parent-like role in someone's life, you know what it's like to love somebody like that. And yet, God loves us even more than the very best father or the very best mother loves their children. I remember when Katie started school, all the neighbors in my court used to carpool. And my favorite time to be the driver of the carpool, obviously this was, and I could still see, was to pick them up after school. And you know, you'd have four or five kids come bursting into the car, full of stuff they wanted to tell you about their day. What they experienced, what they done, what they thought, what they ate for lunch, what they did in gym. They just wanted to talk and wanted to spend time with you, wanted to tell you about their day. And it was one of my favorite times of the day, just to have that interaction with these beautiful children. And every once in a while, I think, wow, you know what? I think that's how God feels about me. I think that's how God feels about you. I think God loves it when we're saying, but could I just hang out with you for a little while? Or God, would you be close to me right now? Would you walk through this thing I'm facing with me? Or let me tell you about these things you already know, but let me tell you about these prayer requests I have, these burdens that hang real heavy on my heart, the things that I'm concerned about. It's mind-blowing to think that God would delight in that. God would delight in being in relationship with us. God would delight in spending time with us. You know, how often do we make time with God this heavy obligation? Something that we check off our list. Something, if we're good Christians, we do. Rather than looking at it through the lens of spending time with this God who delights in us, with this God who longs to be a bigger part of our life. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to be independent. And God's inviting us instead to live in this beautiful father-child relationship with him. You know, and the funny thing about God is the more we understand the way he loves us, the more he touches us with his intimate, personal love, it doesn't become familiar and easy. The more we understand his love, the more we catch a glimpse of his glory, the more blown away we are that this powerful God loves us. And so we hold these two things in balance, this intimate father-child relationship and this understanding, this experience of God that brings us to our knees in the glory of his presence. What an amazing, amazing gift God gives us to be children of God. You know, I had an experience a number of years ago. I'm somebody who's always gotten great value out of what I do and who I am, and I define myself by all these different roles in my life. And I had probably a 2 or 3 year period in my life where I lost my vision, lost a relationship, lost my job, left a church that I had been involved with for 20 years, lost my worship band that broke up and went separate ways, and fortunately, at least some of which has reconvened here. Almost everything in my life changed. Almost every role, every label that I had that I defined myself by was gone. And it was a weird time. But it wasn't, surprisingly enough, a bad time. Because I realized after I had lost a couple of more things, I realized that part of what God was doing, and I believe it's one of the greatest gifts he's given me in my blindness, one of the things that God was doing is he was stripping away all the outside layers of who I am. All my definitions, all my labels, all the things that make me feel good about myself, feel capable and productive. He was stripping every one of them away until I was left standing there naked, if you will, with the only label on me was Joanne, child of God. It's like he had to take me back to the very core of who I was to remind me of the most important role, if you will, I have in my life, and that's to be his child. The truest thing about me, the truest thing about you is that you are a son or a daughter of God. And I must learn lessons really slow because my lessons always seem to be really big. But God had to take me to this place where I was content with nothing more than being his child. And now, as some years have gone on and I've taken on some new labels, some new roles, because I'm a wife now and I'm a stepmom now, and one of my greatest roles, I'm a mom now, and I get to lead worship here with all of you, and as I get more and more labels on me, God constantly needs to remind me not to let those other labels, those other roles, supplant the core of who I am. I need to be a wife and a stepmom and a mom and a mom and a member of this church out of the core of who I am, a child of God. That's where I find my value. That's the only thing that matters eternally to me. You know, we get busy, we get distracted, we forget. And so I'm so thankful that time and time again in God's word, time and time again in the year of the church calendars, we go through things. God brings us back to these places where we remember, where we go back to the very foundation. Look at the kind of love that the Father, God Almighty, has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's exactly who we are. We're going to be something even more amazing. John tells us what we're going to be, we're not even sure of. We know that when Jesus comes, we're going to be like him. But for right now, we're the children of God. And that's more than enough. And I don't know about you, but I want to live my life like I'm a child of God, confident of my Father's love, not arrogant, confident in his love, in his grace, in his strength, nestled into this relationship, intertwined with him, wrapped up in his love. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are so thankful for your love. And we would be delighted if you would just let us understand in some small way the power of that love, that you would just wrap it around us, almost like a hug as we sit here tonight, that you would overwhelm us with your love. A love that is so serious to you that you gave up your life for it. God, we would love to wear your label, child of God. We would love to draw all our value from that. We would love to walk out of this world, walk out of this place into a messy world wearing that label. Not perfect. Not doing everything right, but child of God, loved by God, and that you would fill us up so much with your love that we would be so secure in who you are in our lives, God, that you would come splashing out of us all over the people that we interact with. Thank you, Abba, that you desire that sort of intimacy with us, God, and help us not to throw up blocks from that. Help us not to be afraid of your love, but help us tonight just a little bit more to invite you to come in. Come in deeper tonight, God. Come into the places that we kind of keep hidden from you tonight, God, that we might experience your transforming love, that we might rest in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.